get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning, it's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, and it being a Monday, it's a Monday music marathon, so we're going to have a lot of music, a lot of Joe and Alex Show. I hope you can handle that. Hey, follow us, we're on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Joe and Alex Show, and the number to call us is 833-JOE-ALEX, that's 833-563-2539. A lot of great things coming up on the show today. We will be hooking you up with Murder Monday, that's going on today around 7:30, 6:30 Central. And right after that, all this week, we will be hooking you up with Travis Scott tickets. And Alex, I'm sure you'll be talking about him. He was at last night's Super Bowl, but how are you?
I'm good. I've recovered from my absolute sheer panic that I endured on Friday night. Joe and I had to host an event for a local charity that like helps kids that battle dyslexia. And I've always wondered my entire life, what do celebrities or like singers do whenever they have a concert and then they all of a sudden get the tummy rumblies and they have to like, what do you do when you're like performing and you have to go to the bathroom? Well, right as Joe and I are supposed to host this event, which was a lip sync battle, so we like introduce the people coming up to perform their songs, I get the tummy rumblies.
Is that where you were? Because you were gone for a long time.
Yes, I had to bolt out of there. I texted Joe. I said, just tell them I had to take an important call or something, and he had to like start the event without me because I had to go to the bathroom as soon as it started, and we had to get there like an hour in advance, so I had plenty of time. Of course my body chooses not to go while I had an hour waiting for it to start. It chooses to have to go right as it's starting, so I had to bolt out of there and then go find a bathroom like at the whole other end of the restaurant because the bathroom that was close to us, all the people were changing in for their outfits for this lip sync battle, so I couldn't go in there.
Were these like nervous poops?
I don't know what it was. Something was wrong with me though all night. I was sick all night. So it was just kind of embarrassing. Joe had to kind of take one for the team there for like the first third of it. I've never had anything like that happen to me while I was hosting an event ever. So just so you know, we poop like everyone else.
I don't know if I poop like that, but okay. What about you, Liv? How was your weekend?
It was good. So it was my boyfriend's birthday on Saturday. And so on Friday.
Happy birthday, Colton. Yes. Joe Daddy.
And so on Friday, I had planned to take him to like a nice dinner at a super nice restaurant, like expensive. And then afterwards, I was going to take him to a cigar bar.
Oh, that's nice.
Downtown, just something like fun and different to do. And he was sick on Friday.
Aww.
So he didn't get to do it. And he wanted to rest up because he knew he was going to have like a really big weekend because we had a ton of like our day on Saturday was booked like all day. And then obviously like we were going to a Super Bowl party on Sunday. So he was like, I feel so bad. I just like really don't feel good at all. And like his stomach was all messed up. So we stayed in and like I was kind of relieved because the dinner was going to be really expensive.
Oh.
And so it was a cigar bar. But then at the same time, I would think I was looking forward to that more than anything else this weekend, just to have like a romantic night, like surprising him because he didn't know where I was taking him.
Well, you can do a rain check, right?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. Do I do a rain check
no.
or do I just save the money?
No, you don't have the money to spend. No, as your financial advisor, no.
Just, why don't you do a compromise and only do the cigar bar?
There you go.
I could do that, yeah.
And get like Hot Pockets. Say, I was going to take you and get you some fancy pizza.
They probably have appetizers at the bar.
Honestly, I feel like we're both busy like all these next three weekends, like with things already planned. So he'll probably forget about it. We'll
there
see.
There you go.
We'll hope.
A win-win. What do you do when your significant other's sick? You know, don't celebrate their birthday. Save some money.
I feel like today is National Hit Every Red Light Day.
Yeah.
Is that what happened to you?
I celebrated that this morning.
Yeah,
poor
so
job.
My little PSA is leave early for work. because my commute was an extra 10 minutes today because I hit every single red light.
You don't roll through them at all, like if nobody's there?
No, I mean...
No, in the morning, we get up so early that I go through red lights sometimes.
I wouldn't today. I mean, like people, there's still probably people out there drunk driving after last night.
Well, that's why you look. Terrible. I'm saying if I don't see anybody, I'll go through a red light.
Only the one right by my house I'll go through, but all the other ones, no.
I'm not saying it's right, but we get up so early in the morning, right, guys. There, if you look, stop. Nobody coming for a mile and a half. Nobody coming for a mile and a half. I'm going to go.
If we said we didn't do it. Yeah,
it's dumb. You should not do it, but I'll tell you right now, I don't have time to waste. I sleep as much as I can and get here. But
by the way, Joe, it was weird at your house yesterday.
Oh, there's a lot of weird stuff. We can talk about that.
Joe randomly started bleeding.
Ew.
What?
I didn't randomly start bleeding.
From where?
Yeah, you did, from your leg.
No, it was already a cut that was there.
Oh, anyways. Was
gross.
Thanks, man. I don't know how to transition from bleeding to my weekend.
Yeah,
but
how was your weekend?
It was good. Joe? I bled a lot, actually, randomly. I started having blood coming, and I felt demonic presences around me. I don't know. No, mine was good, except for Pork Chop. Once again, I'm just going to invite nobody from the show to my parties, because Pork Chop came, but he really ruined it. He busts out his phone. What do you guys think he busts out his phone and wanted to do during the Super Bowl?
HQ Trivia.
Yes, during the Super Bowl. He's like, guys, HQ Trivia's on right now.
Joe's just mad because we actually all won.
How much did you all win when you played together?
Doesn't matter. Bragging
rights. Yes,
it is.
This guy ruins
11 cents.
Alex, 8 cents.
No,
close.
39. We all won 39 cents. And
combined?
If you add up all that money, that's just as much as your little bird scooter.
I bet you won 39 cents because not as many people were playing because they were watching the Super Bowl like normal people.
So you're not invited to my Super Bowl party ever again, or my birthday party. Anything with party or get together, I'm going to have to keep you off. Unless you agree to give me your phone. Because you absolutely were just like obnoxious.
Didn't think it was that big of a deal. Someone at my party that I was at did that too. They had HQ Trivia on, but I mean, they just turned it down.
They did, and Alex, it sounded like a terrible surround sound.
Well, you have
like
to
HQ.
Turn it down or go into another room.
I did.
So someone had a baby at the Super Bowl party I was at.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, someone had a phone. Like, I feel like that's like the same. Something like loud.
Maybe we could talk about who ruined your Super Bowl party.
Pork Chop's the early contender, so... That was my weekend, though. That's what happened.
Coming up in the garbage, your Super Bowl halftime show recap, what Ja Rule did at his concert in light of the recent Fyre Festival documentaries, and Jussie Smollett has spoken out for the first time since his attack.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Maroon 5 performed the halftime show for the Super Bowl last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta with appearances from rappers Travis Scott and Big Boy from Outkast. Here's a little clip of Maroon 5. Said that their whole performance was disappointing. Did you guys think that?
It was kind of boring, but I didn't think it was a bad performance.
I thought it was boring.
I thought they did okay, but I was bored. I mean, they sounded fine to me.
They pretty much just played the hits, like a little moves like Jagger, some She Will Be Loved. They performed Girls Like You, even though Cardi B declined to appear. The number featured an appearance by a gospel choir. Travis Scott, who had to bleep a lot of his performance, was introduced by Squidward of SpongeBob SquarePants as a tribute to The Late Show's creator, Steven Hillenburg, who died in November.
Yeah, it's absolute, yeah, I'm back from poop. It's lit, La Ferrari, yeah, the Jamba Juice, yeah, we back on.
I thought he sounded awful rapping, like he just sounded terrible rapping live, but Big Boy sounded amazing. By the way, Travis Scott tickets, we're giving those away all this week at 7:45, 6:45 Central.
A ringing endorsement from Alex to see him live in concert, it sounds like.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Sorry. He was probably just nervous because it's the Super Bowl. He's a brand new performer. You know what I mean? Because, like, Big Boy sounded amazing. But the thing is, like, first of all, rappers never sound the same live.
Never sound good live
because
compared to
that's
on an
so
album.
Hard to do. Yeah, like live in person rapping, like your breathing techniques and all that's very hard to do. But since Travis Scott is like a newer artist, it's probably like nerves of the Super Bowl and just not as much experience is probably why that.
Well, that and all
happened.
The certain rappers put certain sound, like, you know, auto tune different things on them compared to like
you
a singer.
Big Boy did that.
No, Big Boy, that's what I'm saying. I think Big Boy's approach to rapping is way different than Travis Scott's.
Yeah.
That's why he sounds different.
But I mean, either way, like obviously, like Astroworld, that festival went to Houston. That was like amazing. I mean, either way, you're going to want to see him live. So yeah, you can win tickets with us all this week. Everything wrapped up with Adam Levine taking his shirt off, by the way, last night. So that was interesting.
Nipples, huh?
Yeah.
There they are again.
Ja Rule performed in New Jersey on Friday night and took a moment during his show to let fans know that they're upset with him about the disastrous fire festival. That's okay. He kind of addressed the whole Netflix and Hulu documentaries and allowed his fans and attendees to air their grievances. He stood on stage and held up his middle finger to the crowd. And then when he asked who watched the documentaries, he said, "You might be a little mad at me. I want y'all to repeat after me. Get it out of your system because we ain't going to do this for the rest of the year. So get your middle fingers up. Let me hear you say blank you, Ja Rule." The crowd repeated it three times, and then that's when he went on with the show. Empire star Jussie Smollett took to the stage at the Troubadour in West Hollywood Saturday night. It was his first public appearance since Tuesday's attack in Chicago, where he claims that two men hurled racist and homophobic slurs at him and then gave him a beating. Still bruised, he told fans that he's okay and still healing.
"I'm not fully healed yet, but I'm going to. And
that's right.
And I'm going to stand strong with y'all. I had to be here tonight, y'all. Yeah. It sounds powerful, but I couldn't let those motherfuckers win."
And Hallmark announced that the channel is going to be airing Christmas movies every Friday night all year long.
What? The
news was received really well all across social media. The original announcement on Facebook had over 7,900 likes and over 2,400 comments and 4,700 shares. So, I mean, people are very excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, you are, because you want to watch. You know what I have to do, Alex?
You're going to have to watch it.
Everyone with my wife now. Gosh.
Coming up in less than an hour, an actress from one of your favorite childhood movies is needing a family intervention.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Follow us on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. Same thing for Twitter. And the number to call us, 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. So, Liv the Web Girl wanted to talk about cereal this morning, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch or... What exactly were you speaking of?
As delicious as that sounds, no. I wanted to talk about serial dating because Pete Davidson was spotted with another woman that is not Ariana Grande. And I am convinced that Pete Davidson is a serial dater.
Ooh.
He is not a serial dater that goes on dates constantly with multiple women at a time. I mean, like a serial long-term dater. So he's obsessed with getting into like these deep relationships and quick.
Like he can't just stay single.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I looked up the signs of what a serial dater is and how to look out for a serial dater so you're not getting into a relationship with them. And the biggest thing is that they're all about the honeymoon phase. That's their biggest phase. But in the honeymoon phase, they'll experience a lot of things that like a long-term relationship will experience, but in a very fast time.
Oh no.
So during the golden time frame, full of vulnerability and excitement and uncontrollable nerves, the two of you are giddy to be around each other. You're exploding with butterflies during each and every kiss and find yourselves falling hard and fast into love. This is when the memories are made. You'll take the fancy dinner trips together on Friday nights and he'll even hold the door for you. Then you'll go out for drinks at adorable cocktail bars and fun trips. So it's all kind of like a dream. Really fast, really quick.
So far, I'm concerned.
I was going to say, when you brought this up, I thought it might be Alex. But so far, one for one with Alex.
Yeah, this person does not let time take its toll into like a natural relationship. It's just very, very quick. Also,
just going to ding when it sounds like Alex.
Another big sign is that they refuse to be single. Serial daters hate being single. They hate the thought of being alone, and they especially hate not having someone eagerly waiting by the phone to answer every text. Why? Because they constantly have people lined up to date them. They have an assembly line of lovers waiting patiently for their names to be called. It's almost like a monkey bar effect. Serial daters swing from prong to prong, pleasing as they go and leaving at their own will.
I don't know if I... Well, I don't think
okay.
You don't think so? I think you do.
I don't have guys. I have to like search far and wide to find
somebody.
Right,
but you're like almost like obsessed with it. Like
you're
when
very
you're not
selective
dating,
of it.
when you're not dating,
I'm
you're
on the hunt.
Constantly on the hunt. And okay. then sometimes, when I've known you, you'll get a guy and it'll be so perfect for like a month. Yep. And then you'll realize he doesn't know what the Illuminati is. And you're like, I'm
and
ditching
I'm
this
done.
Guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For
so
sure.
Very,
but at
very
first,
similar, serialist.
It's very high hopes.
Oh,
and
so
everything.
Far this is looking good for me.
And then they're afraid of commitment. This is a huge one, which I don't think...
That's not me.
I don't think that matches Alex. But it says, the biggest downfall of a serial dater is his or her ongoing fear of commitment. Quite often, serial daters are jaded and don't believe in everlasting love, so they fill their time with temporary men or women who will fill the void of a long-term relationship.
That may not be Pete Davidson either, because...
He wanted to be with Ariana Grande.
Yeah, he proposed.
Right, but was that just because they were in the honeymoon phase and obsessed with this like new thing and this new love and memories? And it ended up failing.
This is starting to sound more like a conspiracy.
You think so?
Yeah.
And also a huge thing is that they're very obsessed with like checking their phones. So like if a date's not going well, then they're like obsessed with like getting back on their phone to like see if there's other guys texting them, other girls texting them, sending them Snapchats or like hopping right back
it sounds
on dating
like
apps.
Everybody I know second, does this.
This second a relationship is done.
Yeah, sounds like everybody I know is a serial dater then.
Yeah, is that one kind of like par for the course though?
Yeah, like Cavities, I feel like could be anybody.
Well, I think that also it does have to do with like millennials because we're all obsessed with like what could be better, what could be like new and better and like the fear of missing out on something great.
Yeah.
So it's like the second they have a dull moment with someone that they're with, then they hop on their phone and hop on their dating app to see if there's someone else better out there for them.
I got so lucky that I wrapped up my wife when I did because a few more years down the road, I may not have been able to keep her. You know what I mean? There might have been more options out there. But I got it before that big dating profile like Tinder and Bumble kickoff and all those other options. She didn't know there was other things out there. So I got lucky.
Just in the nick of time.
I did. I was a lucky man. Let's get into Joe's Need to Know News this morning. We'll kick things off with the Super Bowl. The Patriots, if you didn't know, beat the Rams in a snooze fest. 13-3. They won Super Bowl 53. Here's the end of that game.
There it is. The dynasty continues.
Yay! Yay! 16 combined points set a record for the lowest scoring game in Super Bowl history.
I said last night to everyone at the Super Bowl party I was at, I was like, is it just me not knowing anything about football or is this game really boring? They were like, no, it is really boring.
It sucked.
Also, I feel like they literally did not call a lot of flags at all. I feel like they were like kind of just letting them play, not calling any flags. And I wonder if that's because of the whole passing interference that they didn't call in the Saints game.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if like something would happen that like there'd be another bad call and be like, the
right.
Super Bowl was rigged.
Exactly. That's why I feel like they weren't calling a lot of flags.
Tom Brady, man, he paid the refs. Let's go to some other stuff with that, though. Julian Edelman was the game MVP with 10 receptions for 141 yards. Members of the Super Bowl winning team, the Patriots, they're going to get a $118,000 bonus. Good, they need that money. Players on the Rams, who are obviously sad they lost, still are going to make some cash. About $60,000 is what they'll get paid for that game. So, not too bad. I'd rather win the Super Bowl than get money, but that's just me. Okay, is spring finally going to come? Are we going to be stuck in winter forever? Well, Punxsutawney Phil. He made a little early prediction. He wrote it down with his little, you know, groundhog pen and stuff and gave it to his official representative. So let's see what they have to say.
Faithful followers, there is no shadow of me. A beautiful spring, it shall be.
Yeah! Phil. All right, well, spring's supposed to come.
Thank
I don't know how accurate it
goodness.
Is. But
that never happens, by the way. That's extremely rare.
No, I don't believe in cruelty to animals, but something was going to happen to Phil if he gave us the wrong answer.
In the last 10 years, that might be, I don't know if I read that was the first time that that's happened. I mean, it's like it never happens. He always sees his shadow.
This is sad news. You guys hear this? There was kind of a mix-up. Like, well, did they fall or did they jump? But a TSA worker jumped to their death on Saturday at Orlando International Airport in Florida. A friend of a friend, like, was there. They didn't see him do it, but they saw the aftermath. Like, they were trying to get on their flight to fly out. But this agent finished his shift, this 40-year-old man, and then he jumped from a balcony at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, which is, like, right there at the airport, and he passed away. So, sad news. who knows why? I mean, there's no reason to take your life. But
terrible.
That was right after there, so that messed up all kinds of travel, too. And I'll wrap up Joe's Need to Know News today with some delicious, delicious chocolate. How about that? Two stories here. A chocolate company announced a full-time salaried position. Responsibilities include traveling across the U.S. in a truck filled with all... You can eat free chocolate. How awesome is that? Tony's Choco Looney, an Amsterdam-based chocolate company, announced it's looking to hire a Choco truck captain and two Choco co-pilots to set off on a road trip across America. That would be so cool. I mean, I don't love chocolate that much, but to get to see all of America and you get paid for it.
One of my friends is a delivery driver for a company, and they do weird deliveries like that. And
really?
So she'll have like $1 million paintings in the truck and all kinds of stuff. It's like real.
See, that would scare me because I feel like somebody would shoot me.
Yeah,
that'd be scary.
She has to drive all over the country like that. Her and her husband do it.
I want to get chocolate wasted.
And our final chocolate story here really doesn't affect us, but I was crazy to see when this actually came out. You know Hershey's Kisses, little candies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, they got rid of the tip. I don't know why, but like all these bakers and people that make stuff, like, oh, my designs look like crap, or customers are complaining. This is a big story a few months ago. Well, they're saying we're bringing back just the tip. Well, the whole thing. They're putting the tip on there. They're going to say that they're going to help out with preparations for cookies and sweet treats. The Hershey company said the company's operations team has made adjustments to the process. So, Alex...
That's a perfect V-Day promotion.
You can be happy about this.
Chocolate! Chocolate! Chocolate!
Yeah. That'll be in stores later this year. That is Joe's Need to Know News here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
I feel like everybody growing up had a book, like a children's book that used to be read to them that really creeped them out. And I started thinking about that because of this video that Chrissy Teigen posted on her Instagram story of her reading a Thai book to her daughter Luna. So like her, I'm pretty sure that she's half Thai.
Okay.
And then her mom, yeah, her mom that lives with them is Thai. And so this book is a Thai book, but it has like English subtitles. So she's reading this book and it is so disturbing.
All right. 833 Joe Alex, did you have a book when you were growing up? You're like, it scared the crap out of you, or you thought maybe when you read it, you're like, this is pretty dang disturbing. 833-563-2539.
Tiny wings were too weak to fly high. When he flew halfway up the mountain, he fell down to the ground and died. Moral of the story, doing things beyond your ability never brings good.
What? That sounds like a fake story or something. Like, there's no way you would tell a kid not to do things beyond their ability.
I started thinking about the books that used to weird me out, and I would say that Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes, that's the book I was going to say.
That one is at the top of my list, because if you remember, that is about a kid that's like bad, who goes to live on an island of monsters, who kind of try to eat him in the end. And it's supposed to be like this endearing story. That book always weirded me out. And then the other book that weirded me out was Goodnight Moon, actually, which is a huge favorite, because that woman whispering hush in the middle of the room, that creeped me out. Why is she just sitting there rocking, just whispering hush? Like, that always made me scared when I was little.
I always got super depressed after I would read The Giving Tree.
Yes.
Like, I remember being in first grade being like, that poor damn tree. Like, oh my God.
It was so sad. That book made me cry. Yeah, that was a sad book for kids.
Jeez, I feel like my parents don't love me because I don't remember reading a lot of books that were scary. Only thing I can think of that kind of creeped me out and grossed me out, and I love pretty much everything to eat. I read this one book. Have you guys ever heard of it? It's like, Green Eggs and Ham or something like that.
That grossed you out?
It's like, wait a minute. Green eggs? who's eating green eggs? I don't think so. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Our number to call in is 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. You can also check us out, joeandalexshow.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It is at Joe and Alex Show. So, Porkchop says that I put my foot in my mouth, and I say, tell me something I don't know.
No, really. On Friday... You said you can do something that blew mine and Liv's mind. We were like, no way can he do this.
It's not like I believed he could do it. I just thought he was talking out of his butt.
Well, on Friday, for the dummy of the day, we were talking about how a girl stole a pizza delivery car.
Yeah.
And I said that they should have used the peppers that come in the pizza box as a defense mechanism and spray them in the eyes. of the delivery or of the girl still in the car.
And then, Joe, I actually have the audio of what you said.
All right, this is what I said. I don't think it's going to hurt that much. Like the yellow
are you
peppers?
Kidding me?
The yellow pepperoncini's there. That'll hurt.
Your eyes?
God, I could take one right
your
to the
eyes.
So, yeah, I still think I could.
So, Joe, it just so happens that I have some pepperoncinis here.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And he is going to spray them in your eyes.
This is a stupid idea. We need an ambulance.
Time. These are straight from Papa John's.
You're going to go blind.
These are the
straight from Papa John's. He brought them in a little pizza box. By the way, it's the cutest pizza box I've ever seen in my life.
Now, I know Joe wants
these
to
look,
eat
by the way, they look disgusting. I don't
smell them.
Lift them up.
Look like you.
How potent are they?
Oh, they're good. Here.
Ooh, they
smell. This is a terrible idea. Get them away from me.
I'll smell them.
Those, first of all, make me want to throw up. I hate pepper smell. But also, you guys, we need like an ambulance on staff.
Does anybody know anything about these peppers right here?
That just burns my nostrils. 833-JOE-ALEX,
833-563-2539. Because I don't mind squirting them in my eye. I mean, I'm sure they have a little bit, but I don't think it's actually
going
to do anything.
You're going to go blind.
I'm not going to go blind.
Well, I just want to understand why you thought that you could handle this.
I'm just saying I think we're being dramatic here, which is a lot of stuff that you guys are overly dramatic sometimes. I have to bring you back into the real world.
Yeah, we're over dramatic because we said you shouldn't squirt a pepper juice in your eye.
No, I don't think you should either. It's not the best, smartest idea, but I'm saying you're like, oh, I would have put her in her eye and I would have blinded her. It would have been like bare
face. It would literally be like pepper spray.
So are you going to do it or are you just going to pretend like you're going to do it?
I want to say, like, if you look in the bottom of the box there, they're real juicy. So
there's like 10 there.
How old are these, by the way?
I went and got them last night.
I don't believe that.
Right after the game, when I left your house, I went to the Papa John's right down the road from your house, 0.5 miles, and got some.
Wow. 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Should I actually do this? Should I give it a go?
Disclaimer, do not try this at home.
Yes, do not try this at home, but tweet at us and maybe we'll put a poll up on our Instagram if Joe should actually do this or not, or if he was just all talk and no game.
Oh, I'm not all talk. I'll totally do it.
I mean, I don't want you to go blind or anything.
I know. I don't want you to go
blind.
That's
my only thing. I just want to medically make sure I won't lose my eyesight.
So then what? We're not doing it right here? You're saying people have to vote and we're going to do it later?
Play a quick song and do it. I mean, it's only going to take a second.
We'll see. 833-JOE-ALEX. If anybody knows anything, maybe you're a nurse or a doctor, or we can do some research. Let me WebMD. I just don't want to go blind. I just do not think.
Oh, so you're going back on what you said?
Now he's listening to me.
No, I'm never listening to you. Is this Shasta?
Yes.
Hey, I got it right. What did you want to say?
A Shastafarian.
I don't think that it'll hurt him because I love pepperoncinis, and I'm not the smartest person in the world sometimes.
What do you mean?
What does that mean? I'm not smart either. But
that means like I've had like the pepperoncini juice like in my eye, and it didn't cause me to go blind. And of course, it's just on my fingers. So I'm sure if you kept it in like a small quantity, it shouldn't affect him physically.
Okay.
It might burn.
Yeah, I don't mind a good burn. I've had burns before. I just want to make sure I don't actually lose any of my vision. I decided not to go with vision insurance this year, so I didn't have that as an elective. So I don't want to have to pay out of pocket. Jasmine, you're on the Joe and Alex show. Pepperoncini talk, go.
Yeah, I've had one of the little pepperoncinis from like Papa John's. I eat them, obviously. Squirt in my eye. I didn't go blind. I'm not dead. It hurt a little bit, but it wasn't horrible.
Ooh, that means you have to do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I have some tips for when after you do it.
Okay.
So I looked up how to clean out your eye once we actually squirt it into your eye.
What's it say, Liv?
And it says getting a cold, wet rag and compress it on your eye. This will not help it for long, but maybe for like 30 seconds until you need to wash your eye out with milk. It says put milk in your eye to wash it out. They says whole milk works the best, but 1%, 2% will work, but whole milk is the one you want to go with. You just flush your eyes out with the milk and then you can drink the milk afterwards.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Well, you know what? I wouldn't do it. I really would. I'm not afraid of doing it. I totally would. But I got to make sure that I'm okay the rest of the show. Like, I can't go anywhere. I got to hit all the buttons, all the boring behind-the-scenes stuff nobody cares about. But
oh, come on.
I mean, I've got to hit these buttons, Alex. You know that. If I don't do that, we don't do garbage.
Typical Joe. He talks the talk.
We don't do anything else.
But he won't walk the walk. Always an excuse for him not to finish Joe's journey.
Right. Now he needs to go change his diaper. All right?
Alex, go over there. Squeeze him in his eye. At least eat one.
All right, here.
Yeah, eat one at least. Eat one.
Eat one and we'll get lucky and maybe it'll squirt into your eye.
Yeah.
Karma.
Yeah.
Eat it.
All these girls dying for the squirt. Okay. No, I'm going to pass right now because it's not on my meal plan.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the calories on this?
Like 5.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
21 Savage was arrested in Atlanta this weekend and taken into custody for possible deportation. He was picked up by ICE yesterday morning and apparently entered the U.S. legally in 2005, but his visa expired and he reportedly is here illegally. His attorney is working hard to get him out of detention to clear up any misunderstandings. An ICE spokesperson says the 21 Savage is a U.K. national who is unlawfully in the country and has been since 2006 when his visa expired.
Wait. 2006, they've known about him being here?
Well, no, they just found out. That's why he's now getting, like,
okay.
In trouble.
I was like, that's a long time that it's been expired. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Well, that's usually how it goes. I mean, it's not like they find out, unless you've done something illegal. It's not like they usually find out about your citizen status, you know what I mean, like, right away. Like, there's so many people in the country illegally,
guess,
you would not
that's
know.
Like, that 16 would be 10. That's like 13 years.
Yeah, wow. So they have put him into removal proceedings before the federal immigration courts. ICE is awaiting the outcome of his case before a judge is going to determine future actions. A lot of reporters and stuff that like were there and like documenting this entire thing go down. They said basically 21 Savage's whole life has been a lie. Like what we know, because he tells people like he's born and raised and grew up in Atlanta and stuff. Yeah. And like he's British. I mean, the whole thing is just kind of funny. So all these memes start coming out, not necessarily making fun of his deportation, but kind of like the fact that he's like secretly British and all this. And so Demi Lovato tweeted that the best part of the Super Bowl was the 21 Savage memes. And people, I mean, just ripped her a new one so bad that she has now deactivated her entire Twitter. She had to post a statement on her Instagram story talking about how, like, dude, I was laughing and talking about, like, the funny memes having to do with his, you know, English status.
Like as if he was going to use like a feather and a quill like to write out his lyrics or something.
Yeah, she's like, you know, it was just a joke. Like everyone else was joking about it. Then as soon as I do, then all of a sudden it's a problem. Which, I mean, I agree with her there. It's just ridiculous that all these people are posting the memes and then they're all going to lash out at her for laughing at the memes they're posting. That just seems ridiculous.
I'm surprised she even reacted and did any of that. It's like,
well, they were
cares?
Talking about like, you are not one to talk. Number one, this is like terrible for you to say. It's racist, whatever, for you to joke about this. But two, you're not one to talk because you've had a heroin overdose. She's like, overdose has nothing to do with this.
I saw all that and I was just like, exactly. It's like, it's a joke. Like, you can't, it's not worth the time to like explain everything like Porkchop does to people. Like, if they're offended by it, it's just a joke, then so
See,
be
she
it.
She needs Porkchop as her PR guy.
Oh my God, Porkchop would have been all over that. Like, no, we can't have fun, Demi. Take that down.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off actress Edie McClurg is battling dementia, prompting her family to seek court intervention. Family and friends of the 67-year-old actress filed court documents requesting a conservatorship to manage her affairs. They claim that neurological tests show that McClurg can't live alone without assistance and is especially vulnerable to undue influence given her poor judgment and evident dementia. Family and friends are concerned about a 72-year-old male friend who's been living with her for several years, and they're afraid that he's actually going to take advantage of her. This is her in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You'll remember her. She was like the receptionist.
I don't trust this kid any further than I can throw him.
Well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody. It's true.
And I can't remember. How do you say this actor's name? Rami Malek? That's right. So he's finally speaking out against director Bryan Singer, who faces more sexual abuse allegations. The Bohemian Rhapsody star said, in my situation with Bryan, it was not pleasant, not at all. And that's about all that I'm going to say at this point. So Singer started off as the director of Bohemian Rhapsody, but was fired from the film for not showing up to work, though he's getting money from the production. Like, the whole thing is so weird. He directed almost all of the movie. And then these sexual abuse allegations came out. Then they kind of fired him, but tried to say it was because he didn't show up for work.
Isn't he getting like $40 million? Something like that out of the movie?
Oh, yeah. a lot of money.
That's a payday.
And still barely anyone in Hollywood is talking about this. Like, the whole reasoning behind his allegations, like, no, it's just kind of like swept under the rug. Like, just nobody talks about it. So there's that. Coming up in less than an hour, Cardi B opened up about her marriage to Offset and what's going on with that.
Murder Monday starts right now and is brought to you by Cam's Roofing and Remodeling. Lower your heating bills with a professional insulation installation by Cam's Roofing and Remodeling. Visit camsroofing.com to schedule your free estimate.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, the reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give out tips. Here's their number, 1-800-22-TIPS. That's 1-800-22-TIPS.
222-TIPS.
I don't want to say 2222. It sounds like I'm saying it too many times.
1-800-222-TIPS.
They need to get a new number. I'm just throwing that out there.
This is the story of serial killer Israel Keyes, but we're focusing on his last victim, the story of Samantha Koenig.
I'm not a stupid person. I'm not in this for the glory. I'm not in this for media attention.
I think in his words, he said, "You got your monster."
Almost exactly 7 years ago to this day, 19-year-old barista Samantha Koenig is finishing up her shift at a coffee kiosk in Anchorage, Alaska. The booth that Samantha sells coffee from is a teeny tiny stand in a parking lot filled with piles of snow almost 18 feet high.
Jeez.
And people would drive up through these piles of snow to this little coffee kiosk and order from it. And by the way, Samantha is drop-dead gorgeous. I'm going to put some pictures that you can see on our Instagram at Joan Alex Show. So when serial killer Israel Keyes sets his sights on her, he knows she is the girl that he wants to kill. Israel Keyes, up until this point, had been killing several people all around the country, but lived in Anchorage. He actually moved to Anchorage on purpose to have a life as a serial killer. Like, this was his entire plan.
So he wants space when he's doing it. Nice and cool and relaxed.
Well, space, but here's the thing. Samantha is the first person that he had ever killed from Alaska where he lived. And let me explain why. So he moves to Anchorage on purpose and was actually an expert bank robber. You see, he would fly all around the country to the lower 48 states. He would rob a bank in a random city. He would use the money to fund his serial killing. He literally had a part-time job to support his full-time job of killing people. And he would fly to these cities and he would bring a kill kit. He would go to a Home Depot. He would get ropes, guns, gags, zip ties, knives, everything that you can think of. And then he would drive up to 1,000 miles in a random direction outside of whatever city he picks. And he would bury this kill kit, and then he would memorize the exact GPS coordinates, and then would fly home, work for a while in Anchorage as a house contractor, and then just fly back out later when he felt like it, drive out to the kill kit, dig it up, and wait for whoever was the next unlucky person to step into his trap, and then he would kill them. Unlike most serial killers, Israel didn't have what's called a victimology, which means he wasn't only killing a specific type of person, like race or gender or something like that. It could be anyone who just happened to cross his path that day if they were unlucky enough. So after years of doing this and killing multiple people, Israel gets pretty cocky and confident because he's not getting caught, which is why for the first time he decides to abduct and kill someone in Anchorage where he lives. As Samantha is starting the process to close up around 9 p.m., Israel walks up to the kiosk window and sticks his head inside. He shows her his gun, and based on video surveillance footage, it looks like he basically tells her that he's taking her with him. He goes inside. He ties her hands behind her back and walks her to his car. And the first night Samantha's missing, hours go by before anyone calls the cops. She lives with her dad, but since she's technically an adult, He doesn't really want to call the cops for a while because for all he knows, she just like went out with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Samantha has a boyfriend. And after a while, he starts to get worried. So he drives over to the coffee shop and he sees that it isn't all the way closed up and the lights are still on and she's nowhere to be seen. So now it's clear that Samantha has been taken. The FBI is brought to Anchorage immediately, and the manhunt is on. During the first couple of days that Samantha is missing, the FBI tries to get into Samantha's dad's house where she's living to go through her room and look for any possible clues, because at this point, you don't know as a detective, did this girl run off with somebody like on her own will? You know, is there something going on? Is she communicating with somebody on the internet? Because this is 2012, so we have like, you know, dating apps and things like that. But her dad says no and denies access to police at first. So this really complicates the investigation because then the FBI is starting to wonder, okay, does her dad have something to do with this? Ultimately, he doesn't. Her dad was actually just trying to keep his own identity hidden in his life hidden because her dad had some kind of drug operation going on in the house. Rumor has it he was growing marijuana in there and he had like a marijuana farm business.
Okay. So you don't want that to get exposed.
But see, what's so absolutely infuriating is your kid is missing and then you're going to complicate things to save your own ass. Just because you don't want the police to find out about your marijuana business on the side.
Yeah, but he's going to get locked up, though, if they actually see that marijuana thing.
I don't think that marijuana, though, is their priority when you have a missing woman.
Not,
you know what I mean?
Not at that time, yeah.
So, like, he's selfishly, like, trying to, like, basically he's throwing the investigation and not letting them do their job. Because what you have to do as an investigator is you have to be able to eliminate certain, like, suspects and things like that. They can't move on to be looking to strangers and outside people like they should be because they're focusing on the dad and he's like preventing them from going out. So finally he agrees and so they are able to move on from that. But that delays the investigation by several days. So she's missing for a while now. But then a ransom demand is texted to Samantha's boyfriend and the text comes from her phone. And a negotiation starts over text. The abductor is asking for $30,000 in order for Samantha to be released and wants the money put on her debit card. Her boyfriend asks for some sort of proof of life of Samantha before he's going to put the money on the card. And what he gets back is a picture, which you can see on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show, of Samantha with her eyes open in a newspaper with that day's date on it. So far, it's looking like a traditional kidnapping and ransom situation. But the picture that is sent to the FBI's forensic photography unit back in Virginia, and what they discover when they blow up that picture, is one of the single most horrifying twists I have ever heard of when it comes to a true crime case. Find out what happened next as Murder Monday continues on The Joe and Alex Show.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with a killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
You can see photos of today's Murder Monday if you go to our Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. Alex, you wanted me to go there. I'm there now. What am I going to be looking for here?
All right, look at the post yep. That has the picture of Samantha with the newspaper. Okay, so here we go.
That is the fourth one in, okay?
Yeah, so hang on. So serial killer Israel Keys has abducted 19-year-old Samantha Koenig from the coffee stand kiosk that she works at. And now it's been several days since she was last seen. Finally, Samantha's boyfriend gets a text message that comes from Samantha's phone, but it's her abductor. He wants $30,000 in exchange for her release. He sends a picture of Samantha with her eyes open in a newspaper of that day's date. But when the FBI's forensic photography unit blows it up and kind of clears up the image, they notice something horrifying. The abductor had intended for the picture to be a proof of life, but it was actually a proof of death. When the FBI zoomed in, they could see that her eyes had been sewn open with a needle and thread.
What?
Yeah. Can you see it? Can you notice that she looks a little strange in the picture? It's black and white and it's kind of grainy, so it's hard to see. I don't think that they purposely posted in respect to the victim the super clear image they had done, but that is the photo.
I mean, kind of. I mean, she looks like she's just really scared. Like, right. You know, like a deer in headlights.
Well, and if you look, because I posted on Instagram, I also posted like a selfie she had taken. She totally is a gorgeous girl. She looks to me completely different because in that picture, she's alive. But in the newspaper picture, she looks like a different person. But I mean, it's like she's dead.
How crazy this guy thought, I'm going to sew her eyes open for the thing for proof of life.
They could literally see the thread holding her eyelids open. So now the FBI team, who's in Anchorage, is notified that Samantha is no longer alive. They continue to correspond with the abductor through text, and they pinpoint that his location is actually in Texas. He still wants the ransom money, and he has no idea that everyone knows Samantha is already dead. So the FBI puts the ransom money on her debit card, and Israel Keys goes to a bank ATM in Texas to take it out. And the camera on this ATM takes a picture, and in the background there's a vehicle. And a local cop ends up pulling a car over that matches the description of the car from that picture. They do a consent search and they find Samantha's debit card. So that's enough like evidence there to arrest this guy and say you're probably responsible for Samantha Koenig's murder. So they've arrested him. They fly him back to Alaska, and they soon find out he is one of the most clever and insidious serial killers they've ever arrested. They transport him back to Alaska and find out right away that he's committed at least 11 murders over the course of a few years, and that he has a girlfriend and a 12-year-old stepdaughter that live with him in Anchorage. They find out that after abducting Samantha, he took her back to a shed in his backyard. He sexually assaulted and strangled her. And this is all happening with his girlfriend and kid in the house only a few feet away. Then he packed a suitcase and tells his girlfriend and stepdaughter that they're all going to go on a cruise for 10 days to Mexico. So they leave Samantha's body in their backyard in the shed in Anchorage, Alaska weather. After they get back, Israel finds Samantha frozen solid after being in the shed for 2 weeks. He decides that the best way to dispose of her body is to get some tools and to dismember her. He takes her body parts to a frozen lake where people go ice fishing. And if you're not familiar with ice fishing, that's when a lake is covered with tons of little holes that people drill in little huts with heaters on top of them. And fishermen will sit for hours on top of these little holes in the ice fishing. So Israel tells police that he walked out onto this lake with tons of people around pulling a sled of human remains. He goes inside this hut, he drills a hole, and one by one takes her body parts, which were 5 pieces total wrapped, unwraps them, weighs them down, and drops them into the water. Is that not sick or what? Israel tells police that he had taken a piece of wood, set it on fire, and set it over the hole he had drilled to melt the ice opening so it would start to melt and freeze and close back up. So it was easy for police to walk back out onto the ice and find the exact spot where Samantha's body parts would be. And this lake is 45 to 50 feet deep when the FBI dive team puts a sonar into the ice hole and it scans the bottom of the lake and immediately finds 5 objects. But this sonar, it can tell the dive team and the investigators that there are objects, but it doesn't like take a picture or anything like that. So after they put the sonar down, they send a robot with a high-def camera down there to take pictures of the objects. And the first thing they see when they turn on the camera is a human foot.
Ugh.
Now the FBI cuts a way bigger hole in the ice to accommodate the bodies of the divers so that they can go down there and get the remains. And the divers have special underwater body bags that they take down with them, and they put the first piece, like the foot, in the bag. The normal procedure is for the divers to take down 5 separate bags for each part, but the FBI divers were given specific instructions not to do that and to take only 1 bag. Why? Because Israel Keys had given a demand to investigators and told them that if they wanted to find out more about his other murders, that they'd have to make sure it didn't get out to the press that Samantha had been dismembered. Because Israel didn't want his stepdaughter to find out that detail of the case. He was obsessed with his stepdaughter, loved her.
At least he's a nice guy, right? Really cares about everybody, how they feel.
Clearly a decent human being. So as the dive team is underwater, they're very careful because the press is standing on this frozen lake, taping everything. I mean, the whole news is there. So they're trying super hard to hide the fact that they're fishing for multiple parts. He also told investigators that he only wanted to talk to female detectives because he wanted to see the look on their faces when they found out about what he'd done sexually to his female victims. He had, not only did he sexually assault and kill Samantha, obviously, but there was a married couple that he had also murdered. This case is so, like, intense that there's not enough time for me to cover all these. That's why I picked Samantha's. But if you go back and read more or listen to the investigative, like, interviews that they had done with him in the police department, he talks about this other case too, and it is just grisly. I mean, this is a grisly, awful serial killer. But after they had gotten all the parts of Samantha up and everything, he told them, like, you know, make sure the press doesn't find out I dismembered her. I'm going to completely clam up and you'll never find out about anything else. But they did try their best not to get that out in the press. But I guess a few months later, Israel just decided to commit suicide in prison anyway before his trial began. So now investigators are still trying to piece the puzzle together and find his other victims. So over the course of years to come, we're probably going to continue to hear more about Israel Keys and the other victims, because he admitted to over 11 people, and they could figure out based on... Because Anchorage, Alaska is such a, you know, specific place. There's only a few airlines that go in and out of there. Mm-hmm. They could figure out when he did flights, when he flew out. So they know, like, the times over the last couple years that he had committed all these other murders. The thing is, though, is that he would pay cash for his rental vehicles that he would drive out up to 1,000 miles. So they're having trouble, like, tracking down cars to test them. All these different things. Like, there's a lot of things that are hard for them to piece together now that he's dead. But that is at least part of the story of serial killer Israel Keys.
Absolutely insane. Check out the photos on our Instagram right now at Joe and Alex Show.
I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side. Yo. I get those goosebumps every time.
Travis Scott was at the Super Bowl halftime show yesterday with Maroon 5 and Big Boy, and you could see him in person. We've got tickets all this week here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now to see him. Pork Chop, what are we doing today to give away these Travis Scott tickets?
Today we are going to play Joe, Alex, or Liv.
Oh, okay.
Which one of us they want to kill?
No.
And then which one they want to hug?
I've got a bunch of facts about all of you, and I need the listener to tell me who this fact is about.
Okay.
And we can get two contestants.
At the same time, let's go to John. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. John, you hang on and we'll say hi to Kaylee.
Yes.
Hey, cool. Good morning. Pork Chop, how's today's game work?
I've got a fact, and you have to tell me, is this fact about Joe or Alex or Liv?
So we're taking turns. They don't have to, like, yell in with their name or anything?
That is correct.
Okay.
First is going to be Kaylee. Are you ready, Kaylee?
Hello. I'm ready.
Okay. Tell me, who was this, Joe, Alex, or Liv? I was most likely to become an MTV VJ in high school.
Alex.
That is incorrect. I'll give you a chance to steal. Who is it, John?
I'm going to go with Liv.
That is incorrect. It was Joe.
I don't even know what a VJ is.
I don't think people our age knew what VJs were.
You guys are not that much younger. MTV, when they actually played music videos, they did countdowns with, like, Carson Daly.
Yeah, no, I know what that is.
MTV didn't play music videos.
A video jockey, like a disc jockey.
Video jockey.
Yeah, they called them VJs. It was a big deal to be a VJ on MTV.
All right, John, this next question is for you. I was voted most likely to become a household name in high school. Is that Joe, Alex, or Liv?
I'm going to go with Alex.
That is correct.
Good job.
Wait, that was a category? Like, who's going to be a household name?
I guess they made it one.
There we go. Okay.
Kaylee, the next question's for you. I wanted to be a professional skateboarder when I was little. Is that Joe, Alex, or Liv?
Alex.
That is incorrect. Chance to steal, John. Who is it?
Joe.
That is incorrect. Liv.
Yes.
Liv the skater boy.
Wow. I really wanted to be. I got a skateboard for, like, my 10th or 9th birthday, and I, like, rode it all the time for, like, a week, and then I decided it wasn't for me.
She was a skater boy. She's a see you later boy.
Could you do any kick flips or anything cool?
I could barely go down my driveway.
That's
so
cute.
No.
Could you ollie?
Nope. Still working on it.
All right.
All right, John, this next one is for you. When I was a teenager, I used to eat the roach when I smoked because I thought it was cool. Is that Joe, Alex, or Liv?
Joe.
That is incorrect. Kaylee, with a chance to steal?
I'm going to say Alex again.
That is correct.
Wait, you were doing weed?
I smoked pot when I was in high school like a handful of times. And yeah, I would eat the roach.
Ew.
Because I thought that was like a cool thing to do.
The things Alex won't eat, but she will eat a roach. Okay.
I would swallow it like a pill. I wouldn't chew it.
Ew, stop. Uh-uh.
Not that roach.
There's no way to do it.
Hey, Liv, we're here.
So stupid.
Kaylee, this next one is for you. Is this Joe, Alex, or Liv? I have two less teeth than the normal mouth.
Liv.
That is correct.
Really?
So I got my wisdom teeth taken out. Oh, wait, no, I have four less teeth than everyone, but two still counts. I got my wisdom teeth taken out, but then on top of that, I also got four permanent teeth taken out when I was in like the fifth or sixth grade before they put braces on because my jaw was too small.
Wow.
You medical freak.
Yeah.
John, you are next. This one's for you. My first car was purple. Is that Joe, Alex, or Liv?
I'm going to go with Liv.
That is incorrect. That means, Kaylee, you are the winner 2-1.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Aww, that's nice.
So supportive there, John.
Good
thank
sportsmanship
you,
after I'll the Super Bowl.
I'll call back this week. I'll be back on.
All right, same time tomorrow, man.
Joe, why was your first car purple?
Well, it's because it was what my mom gave me to drive. She's like, well, you can have this. I was like, hey, beggars can't be choosers. So
that's right.
It was Papa Pesh's Pimpin' Purple Plymouth, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
That thing had a Rockford Fosgate amplifier and subs in there. I was banging the beat, man. That you heard me coming down the block. That trunk was rumbling.
In the Barney Mobile.
Joe wanted to be black so bad.
White people can have subwoofers too, Alex.
I overheard a conversation over the weekend I thought was interesting. Someone was talking about how their friend was not taking their soon-to-be husband's last name. And they said that women are not fully committed to their husbands if they don't drop their maiden names and take the guy's last name. So I wanted to know what you think of that. 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-JOE-ALEX.
That's 833-563-2539.
So was she just stating her opinion? Like, she just thought that women weren't? Or is like, did she read a study or what?
Yeah,
I think you overheard.
Yeah, I think she was just saying like that was what she thought. Like, she was just like, you know, she's obviously not fully committed to him because she won't take his last name.
I think that is so wrong.
Why?
Because I think that people aren't taking other people's last name more of as like an independence thing, that they are not.
Then stay single if you want independence.
No, but I think that it's to not be codependent. I don't think even if you're married, a codependent relationship is healthy. You should be able to be sustainable and independent as yourself, but willing and wanting to be in a partnership. That doesn't mean you're like, that doesn't mean you're codependent if you want to be in a relationship. And I don't think that just because someone wants to keep their last name, because that might mean a lot to them.
Two reasons I say you as a woman should be able to keep your last name and not take your husband's last name. Number one, if you're a celebrity. A lot of times celebrities do not take other names
because
they have a brand. I get that. The other one is, let's say, Liv. Does your dad? He doesn't. Your dad has no sons, right?
My dad has no sons.
I could see keeping it that way to continue, if you want, the legacy of the mob that you're in. Yes,
like
to keep that going. Other than that, like why? Like if you marry Jewel Daddy one day, you're telling. Would you want to keep your name or no?
Now, I haven't really thought about this too much, just because that's not where we're at in our relationship. Like, we don't talk about marriage a lot, but I mean, I have thought about it before in my life, maybe keeping my last name. Because here's the thing. I have three older sisters. They are all married. I have no male cousins on my father's side. I have no like cousins on my father's
side. There's no one to keep the last name going.
I am the last person in my family with the last name Karis. So after me, if I get married and I don't keep that last name, our last name is like killed off pretty much until like, I mean, once my parents
But then
pass.
If you were, so if when you get married though, Liv, if you did keep your last name, see, then how would you name your kids? Because what would they have, like a hyphenated last name?
I don't know. Maybe it would be hyphenated. I don't know. But I also do think this. I think not just because you're a celebrity should you keep your name. If you're successful in any area of business, if you're a successful CEO, if you're a successful writer, if you're a successful in whatever field you are in, I think it says something to keep your last name because you have built your brand in the area that you are in. Just because it's not known around the world, it's still known in the area you're in.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I just think that if you are going to get married, that's a tradition that you do. If I was a woman, I would take my man's name.
I know, but I think it's kind of like, I don't know how this all started where the woman had to take the man's last name, like how that all came to be. But like, I mean, it's just very outdated. I'm not judging anyone. I don't know for sure if I'll take my husband's last name or not, but it just is a very outdated thing.
Joel, Dad, are you listening to this, man?
833-JOE-ALEX. Are women not fully committed to their husbands if they don't drop their maiden names?
What's going on, Sarah? You're on the Joe and Alex show.
Yes, I was just wanted to make a comment. My husband and I, we've been married almost 11 years, and he became a citizen in October. I never officially changed my last name. It was never an issue. He took my last name when he became a citizen in October. And someone tried to give him grief about it where he works, and like he told them, this is the only country in the world where the wife takes the husband's last name.
It is?
I mean, it was one of the few, I'm sure, because if you think about it, you know, people in other cultures, they hyphenate their name. The woman and the man, they bring their last names together for their children. His own mother never changed her last name, and he's from Morocco, so, I mean.
Why do we want to make things so complicated? Just have the last name. Like back in the day, you know, like I watched Game of Thrones, which is a good basis for a lot of things in life.
Oh, yeah, because that show is obviously very real with flying dragons.
It was, Liv. Hello, dinosaurs, velociraptors. Mm-hmm. Read it. Jurassic Park. Schooled ya. But they took the house names. I think, sure, it's old or whatever you might want to say, but it's traditional
there. But, like, why? Like, why did this tradition start? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Read the Bible. Maybe it's in there. Let's see here. Anna?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
What did you want to say?
So I just wanted to talk about the whole not being committed with the last name. My husband and I, we've been married for 7 years now. And, when we met in college, so right getting out of college, I didn't want to go and like have to change my teaching license and things of that nature, especially because, I mean, we didn't have a whole ton of money coming right out of college. He never made a big issue about it. And so another thing that I liked about my name was that every other name is a letter, including my last name. It's a pattern. Every other letter is an A. And I thought that was unique and something that I wanted to keep. And then, well, now having our daughter, she has his last name, so we just never made a big deal about it. I don't think it doesn't mean we're not committed to each other.
I like your progressiveness.
Of course you do.
And also, like, it's like, why do we need a stupid name to define the seriousness of our relationship? Shouldn't it
I don't
be,
know.
Like,
I like the tradition, like the traditional aspect. I think it does show that you're fully committed. I also think it's easier when you have kids together. When you have the same last name, it's easier for like awkwardness at school or if you have to go to the hospital and things like that.
Why?
Yes,
to know that the kid is yours, it's faster.
It's one thing instead of like, oh well, it's this and this. It's Peshkar.
I'm this.
Blah, blah,
their
blah,
dad
blah, blah,
is
blah,
this.
Blah.
It always complicates things when you have 800 names.
Let's wrap it up with Larry. You're on the Joe and Alex show. Larry, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, I was just saying, I do agree with the whole name deal if you want to pass the name on, but if we're breaking tradition, why should a man have to spend a bunch of money on the overpriced ring when that was something that was started by the De Beers family years ago?
Amen, Larry.
You know what?
Amen. Like, why do we got to get Liv the Web Girl this ring?
So, no. I mean, people put themselves in debt over a ring.
Why is Liv making us do this, Larry?
If we're going to break traditions, let's break them all.
I think that is idiotic. I have told my boyfriend right now, and he knows this, I'm not saying we're going to get engaged, but he knows that he could propose to me with a piece of string. And I would be okay with that because to me, it is not about the engagement ring. If you're focusing so much on a material object about a relationship that's supposed to be unified by God and last for the rest of your life, and you're putting so much weight on a material object, I don't think that's very important. Yeah, I think it's Alex, the long-lasting relationship and the bond that you guys have and the life that you guys want to create together.
What
not
do you think,
about
Alex?
Material object.
I want a big rock, and if you don't, I'm saying no.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Cardi B says her marriage to Offset is a personal thing. She was asked about the intense social media speculation over their relationship, and she said, "We just do regular things. I just feel like we're famous. We're really popular right now. I just don't know the obsession. Like, I feel like everything we do is such a big deal." Even before the bad scandals, just from the first time they saw us together, it was just like this big, crazy deal. She said, my relationship and my marriage is not for them. She said, they're just taking things slow. They've got a baby right now. That's their big focus. She said, I hang out with him and I talk to him every day. We do our thing. It's just like, to make things perfect, it takes time, you know? As she said, effing and hanging out doesn't mean that you guys are on like a perfect note. It takes time. And it's marriage and there's a child involved and family involved.
I still feel like this was a big scheme. It's cool. I like Cardi B.
You think
B.
it was all a publicity stunt?
I really do. Do I think he cheated? Yes. I'm sure he has been everywhere. But I feel like this is, like, they were never going to separate.
Rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yo, your favorite rapper, yeah.
Absolutely despise this. I don't even want to say, man. He's not even, to me, he's not even worthy of the title of being a human being. He's such a terrible person. He's pled guilty to a federal indictment. He copped to 9 counts of racketeering, conspiracy, firearms offenses, and narcotics trafficking. During his plea hearing, he actually opened up about how he got involved in a bunch of criminal activity. He admitted to paying someone to shoot Chief Keef. He said, I apologize to the court, to anyone who was hurt, to my family, friends, and fans for what I've done and who I've let down. No, you're not. He admitted that everything he did was to get like up further in the racks of ranking of his gang or whatever that he's in. He has this plea deal. It's likely to increase or significantly reduce, I should say, the sentence in this ongoing thing with his cooperation.
Didn't they say, like, if he gets sentenced, everything he could get out of jail when he's 69?
Yeah, I saw that it said...
Interesting sentencing right there.
The least amount of a sentence he could get is, like, 45 years or something like that. I saw that, too. So we'll see what actually happens because, you know, money is the biggest privilege of all, and you will get out of anything if you can pay the right people and the right lawyers. In the February 2019 issue of Glamour, Halsey says she's over the double standards between men and women in the music industry. She said she's particularly over unoriginal male artists in the media. She said, we live in a world where women are required to be so original, it's crazy. There are so many male artists, though, who are regurgitations of each other. They all dress the same. They all have the same stylist. They wear the same clothes. They write the same writers. Like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with her. I think when it comes to pop music. Yeah, pop music is all regurgitated. It's all, for guys and girls, I feel like they're all the same. She said she doesn't care for the narrative the media creates that she's in competition with other female artists like Ariana Grande simply because they both have songs charting at number 1 and number 2 on the Billboard 100 chart at the moment. That is the garbage.
This conversation, we're going to keep it clean. We always do, but it's definitely going to be a little PG-13, a little adult, because, it's an interesting thing.
I want to lick you from your head to your toes, and I want to move from the bed down to the floor,
and I want to
you make it so good, I don't
want to
leave, but I gotta
know what's your fantasy.
Now, Alex, it's funny. The person that's waiting till she's married to actually do anything.
I have the dirtiest conversations with my friends.
I think this makes the most sense, but continue.
Oh, yeah. Well, typically, usually those the quiet girls or the girls that wait, they're always the freaks.
Exactly. They have all this pent-up energy.
Mm-hmm. But
and nowhere to take it.
And like Joe said, I mean, we'll keep this really buttoned up here. But I was just having a conversation with one of my girlfriends who is married over the weekend, and she revealed something so shocking to me. For her, just knowing her, I could not believe what she said, but she admitted to me that she has thought a lot about how hot it would be to have a menage a trois, but she said that she wouldn't actually go through with it.
Now, would that be with
her husband and another girl?
Okay.
So she revealed that to me, and then it got me thinking, like, what is your fantasy that you think about but that you wouldn't actually go through with in real life? Live the Web Girl, do you have one?
I don't, actually. That might be shocking.
Wow.
Because she's probably done it.
Because she does it all in her life. 833-JOE-ALEX, if you have one, something you think about but you wouldn't actually do.
That's 833-563-2539. Also, you can tweet us at Joe and Alex Show. Pork Chop, you ever have anything that you thought about? Maybe you wouldn't even really do it, but you just thought about?
Maybe. Yeah.
Tell us.
Why are you clamming up over here? We share everything.
His face is so red.
I know. He looks like a tomato.
How do I? I don't even know.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so I think I like
the idea of
power.
Okay.
Well, let me explain. So maybe this stemmed back from like probably 10 years ago. I had like a boss that I thought was really attractive.
Yes.
And kind of ever since then, I don't know. I think I like the thought of like
a boss.
Yeah.
Or being with a superior.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't actually go through with it.
No, of course not.
Because
no
you're
way.
Just too scared of like what that would. You don't want to poop where you eat, so to speak.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. Depends on the boss. I've also had that same thing before where I've thought about that. This sounds terrible, but this is way back when I was a younger, like 21-year-old guy, and I had interns that were also the same age as me, but technically I was their boss. And I just thought, because it's one of the girls I actually dated for like a month, then she came and interned for me. So I guess that already happened before she interned, but I've had that kind of a thought, same thing you have. I think it's very interesting, that whole power kind of an angle. 833 Joe Alex, you have not necessarily had to do this, but if you've thought about this or you've had like that kind of fantasy, 833-563-2539. Okay. What about now? Do you have anything? We have a couple of bosses here. Are there any that you think about, Porkchop? Liv used to think about one of our old bosses.
Yeah, she did. And actually, we ended up calling him on the phone for her to reveal her crush. And he ended up saying that he also thought she was hot and that he never would have admitted it while he worked here because that's unprofessional. But now that he doesn't work here anymore, he admitted it.
He said she can get it.
He said she can come to visit him where he lives now and she can get it.
That audio was so uncomfortable. So weird.
That was for sure one of our most awkward moments I feel like we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, the only thing I can think of is maybe some handcuffs, but like I would do that with like my future husband.
Yeah, so
like,
see, it has to be something you wouldn't do.
Now, can we count this, Alex? If it's like a dream I had, would that technically be a fantasy? Like it actually happened. I didn't plan it to happen.
Right, like a dream that you had subconsciously. I think you can say that if you would like it to happen. If you had it, you had the dream, and then the next day you woke up, you're like, I would love for that to happen.
Well, I can't say that I want it to happen, because then my wife's going to be mad.
Well, then I want you to say it.
Yeah.
All right. If somebody else will call in and share theirs, I will share mine next. How about that? 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. I want to lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna my God. I just saw some of the things people are calling in for.
I need to know.
No. We'll do it next. 833-JOE-ALEX. Because I don't know how we're going to talk about that one. Hang on. Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Call the Joe and Alex Show now at 1-833-JOE-ALEX. Call right now. 1-833-563-2539.
Kind of an adult conversation, even though we're keeping it nice and clean, but Alex, the girl that's waiting until she's married, has some of the most interesting conversations with her friends.
And my married friend told me that she thinks frequently about having a menage a trois with her husband and another woman, but would never actually act on it. So we want to know, what is your fantasy that you would not actually act on, that you think about, though?
Okay, I don't know if you would say it's that, but I've had, like, a dream, and I can't say that I actually would do it because then my wife would divorce me and be mad at me, but the dream in question was with, and I won't name names, but two of her good friends because she's got a bunch of them.
Oh, I would be furious.
What? But here's the thing.
Even if it's a dream.
Alex, these girls who are gorgeous came up to me when Lindsay was sleeping.
When in your dream?
In my dream. And they're like, hey. And they just kind of like, I don't know, like we were like in a hot tub.
And they
just were touching my body and telling me like how good I was.
And two of Lindsay's friends, correct?
Yeah, really good friends. Yeah.
I would be so upset.
I wouldn't talk to you for the rest of the day.
I would not want my husband, my boyfriend to tell me that.
Okay, well, I can't help what comes into my mind or my dream.
But
I frequently think
about it, though, without actually acting on it, because that's what the question is.
I might have dreamt about it a few times, but I can't control what goes into my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyways, I mean, yeah. But Casey, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What's going on? Or Cassie, I'm sorry. What's up?
What's up? My fantasy has always been wanting the sugar daddy.
Oh, like you are the sugar baby in the situation?
Yes.
How old are you?
21.
Oh, you are prime for this, honey.
Yeah, you've got your whole life ahead of you.
I had a friend that was a sugar baby. She had a sugar daddy, and it like ended in like lawsuit. So be careful.
Wait, careful why was a lawsuit involved?
Oh my gosh.
Because, I mean, I think the whole sugar daddy thing, it's like they love to have like the control over and like put like have control over your life and what you're doing, especially because like you're their employee almost, kind of. They're treating you to all of these nice things, so they expect something in return, and it's kind of a control. And then it got almost like too controlling to where it's like she needed to get away from him.
Yikes.
You know how unfair life is? Like, I desperately wanted to be a sugar baby when I was younger. Could never find a sugar mama. I would have done that, like, no questions asked, no complaints.
She went on trips. She had designer, like, $1,000 sunglasses, clothes. I mean, all of it.
So, Cassie, you think about
She's no longer there.
Oh, I was going to say, so she doesn't actually want to go through with it. I mean, I would say that's not, like, too far-fetched or too awful. I mean, lots of people do that.
Yeah, I feel like that might happen for her one day.
I know, but I would think it would tarnish any other relationship you have after that.
Like, why?
I don't know. I would not want to tell someone that I, like, loved or I wanted to marry that I was in that kind of relationship.
You want to know what my fantasy is that I think about that I wouldn't actually do?
Honestly, I'm kind of worried.
I want a guy to shave my legs for me just because I don't want to do it.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. Oh, yeah. It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
Why don't we file this one under a not a good idea, maybe like the bad idea folder? A Wisconsin man placed a baking sheet full of hot charcoal under his car and accidentally lit it on fire.
What do you, wait, like, why? What do you mean accidentally? He placed it under there and set it on fire.
Well, he didn't think the hot charcoal, like, it wasn't flaming. It just was like warm coals. The man told firefighters his car was frozen. It was that cold. Remember the polar vortex?
Oh, my word.
So he put the charcoal under it to, quote, warm up his vehicle. However, his car went from cold to warm to on fire within 5 minutes. Thankfully, the guy was not hurt, but the interior of his car was destroyed. Finally, firefighters got there, and they put out the flames. But, yeah, kind of warmed it from the inside, and his car's just going on fire, like, lit up.
Wow.
It blows my mind. Like, I'm not the smartest guy, Alex, but I know you can't put charcoal under your car.
This is just as stupid as, like, when people say something like, throw water on your windshield to melt the ice and stuff like that.
Right, it's like, yeah, make sure you leave your headlights on all night long so they don't frost up.
Yep.
People are dumb. That's why we have our dummy of the day here on the Joe and Alex Show.
Come on.
Good morning. We are the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Number to call in, 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. Okay, you play a scratch-off ticket, maybe Mega Millions, Powerball, whatever it might be. You get lucky, and you hit it, and you're winning all that money. Are you staying together with that, maybe that boyfriend or girlfriend you currently have, or that husband or wife, or, you know, whatever they might be, or significant other? Are you staying with them? Are you like, you know what? I think I'm going to change things up. 833-JOE-ALEX. We're going to go around the room here on the show, but also see what you think.
Well, Liv the Web Girl found something interesting having to do with this.
Yeah, so my boyfriend, Joel Daddy, plays the lottery every Wednesday and every Saturday. So he does it twice a week, and he's always like, oh, I feel it. This is the time. This is the time.
We're going to be rich, babe.
Right. And so we were at the grocery store the other day, and I was like, if you won the lottery, would you break up with me? And he kind of like hesitated, and he was like, I don't know. And like,
what?
I had to think about it. And I was like, what the heck, you jerk? Because I almost was like, oh my gosh, what if we won millions of dollars? Like I said, we, but like it's not ours, like it would be his.
Right.
So I was like, huh, like I wonder if he would break up with me. And he said that he doesn't know, because I think we can all say in our society, if you have the more money you have, the higher your stock value is as
an eligible
bachelor, bachelorette. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes. Right? Even if you're hot, you're hotter with money.
Exactly. So I'm like, would you break up with me? And so he really was like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know how many people will admit this, but I think a lot of people, like Liv saying, would sever ties. I think you're listening right now. You might have kids. You would probably leave for somebody, a hotter man or woman. Or if you're just dating, I think you would. 833-JOE-ALEX.
But I think I am like a super, super good catch. So like, I think he's out of his mind if he would leave me if he
got
millions of
dollars.
What
makes
you
a super good catch?
In your opinion. I'm down to earth. I'm fun. I can hang with the boys. I can also like dress pretty. I'm not high maintenance. I just think I'm a catch. I'm funny. I'm witty.
When you say you're a good catch, I imagine you as like a piece of salmon.
Like going up the stream, like, pick me, pick me.
Yeah, and I'm a beautiful piece of salmon.
You're a catfish.
I don't think I would leave the Egyptian just because I don't think I can do, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to find anybody else that's going to put up with me.
I don't know. If you're worth millions, you might be able to.
Well, that's a good point.
You could pay people to put up with you. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't like her, but she does
have
money.
Exactly. Like, people are willing to put up with more stuff if you have more money.
But see, that depresses me. I want someone to be with me because they want to be with me.
That's how I am. So I would never, ever break up with my boyfriend, Joel Daddy, if I won the lottery.
If I had a family, I think I'd keep the unit together at least till everybody's 18. Like, try to get him through those basic years, or maybe 21.
I know, but then it's like, what's the point? Like, the reason why I was asking him is because he's young. He still has his life ahead of him. He doesn't really have a lot of obligations. He's not married. He doesn't have kids.
But I think, like, right now, like, I'm married, but we have no kids. We just have two dogs. Like, and it's no offense to my wife. It would be any woman, for that matter. Yeah, I think I would probably leave whoever I'm with.
What?
Why?
Even if I won, like, $2 million, I'd probably, like, just a $2 million lottery and after taxes. Because I think the way I'd want to live my life is just simple. I would go, like, make a little house or a little hut, something decent in the woods near water. And I would probably just relax and watch the animals in my backyard. I'd go fishing. And that would be it. I would just invest my money, live basic.
No, I believe that you think that's what you want, but I think that you would be so depressed and so lonely.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
You would literally hate your life.
I couldn't do a show with you anymore because you would be such a miserable freaking person.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
You'd be so lonely.
I don't, but see, I think I would like that alone time though. Like I don't
you
like.
So many times you say this kind of stuff, and every single time I'm like, I don't understand why you're married.
He always complains about how he's lonely and how he hasn't made a lot of friends.
Nothing makes sense
in
your
new
life.
City, and you always talk about that. So why would you want to be more alone than you already are?
No, I get what you're saying. I'm not denying what you're saying. It may not have some weight or merit to it, but I do also enjoy some of my alone time. Like when I go fishing, I really enjoy that.
So take a weekly or monthly trip to go fishing because you'll have the money to where you can do that.
I just don't like have to be accountable to other people. Abby, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What would you do?
I would stay with my boyfriend. We have been together for over 3 years. We have kids and we probably would just go crazy with the money.
Do you think he would stay with you, truthfully?
Yes. He probably would. We probably would get married.
I feel like that is the average answer.
So why don't you guys get married now without winning the lottery?
Because we don't have money to. I mean,
it's expensive.
He wants to give me what I want, I guess, which I hope he's telling the truth, which is what he always tells me.
Do you want me to marry you guys, Abby?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Joe's ordained.
I'm ordained. I can do this.
Oh my goodness, that would be so funny.
See, but Abby, do you think that Joe's answer is shocking, that he would say if he won the lottery that he would like leave whoever he's with?
Just be alone in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, he's married, you know?
He's married, yeah.
But even if I had a different girlfriend, it's got nothing to do with my wife in particular. It's just that's what I would do. Like, I would like to be alone and just, I would just like
You're
to enjoy life
crazy.
The simplest way. No phone. Maybe a TV.
You would go insane, Joe. You are obsessed with your phone.
So cringy.
I mean, because of my job, I have to be.
I think it's more crazy how self-unaware you are, that you don't know that you would hate that. Don't you think, Alex?
Yeah.
See how much calmer I'd be?
Yeah, everybody says that until they're actually doing it, until he actually is alone and actually has no phone.
Abby, give me $100,000 so I can take a year off. Give me $100,000, and I'm gonna go live in the woods, and I'm gonna be the happiest man in the world. Okay.
Right.
All right, you're not going to do that. I appreciate you, though, Abby.
Man of the tree.
Exactly. I'd be a man of the woods. I'd be like a bigger Justin Timberlake, like size-wise. Adam, you're on the Joe and Alex show. You're married. What would you do?
In this situation, I would definitely stay. I can't always say that that would have been the answer, but I'm in a pretty solid one.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's see what Bobby would do. Bobby, would you stay? Yes. Would you go?
I'm right here.
So you're staying with your significant other, even if you win the lottery?
Yes, I would. And I've been with him since the sixth grade. I wouldn't leave him if I won the lottery.
Bobby,
what do you think about Joe's answer?
I think that's crazy because, you know, if you're complaining about being alone, you know, you want to be with someone so you have someone to talk to.
Yep.
I'll be with myself, though. How is that alone?
Well, because you can't. Talk to yourself, you know.
Yeah, you can, Bobby.
Your wife isn't even enough for you to talk to. You have to go and pay a therapist to talk to her, too. Even
exactly.
Though you already do have a wife, and you're thinking that you can just drop both of them and be alone?
No. I could talk to the animals, and I don't talk to anybody. That's why I have a therapist.
Talk to the animals. You are so full of crap.
You don't think, okay, Dr. Doolittle did it. Why can't I?
Oh, my God.
Tell me that. Riddle me this. And yes, Liv, you bring up my therapist. I love my therapist. She's great. I have a therapist, mainly just to get stuff off my chest, because there are things that I will, and Alex says I should be able to tell my wife these things. Maybe, maybe not, but I never will. So, and that's just anybody. I don't talk to my family about personal stuff.
Wait a minute. So all the stuff you're sharing, the stuff that you've been sharing with your therapist
or my
about
mom or
your,
my whoever.
But the stuff about your childhood and all that, you've never shared that with Lindsay?
No, Lindsay has a lot of stuff, but my point is why burden people with my problems?
That's like the point of a relationship and like a symbiotic relationship is getting support
gross.
From your significant other.
No way. Please, please, Lindsay, if you're listening, keep your problems to yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the Joe and Alex show on Radio Now.
Do you like my flute?
Oh, I thought you were playing the piano. Okay, Liz snapping. I think Pork Chop comes in like in a verse or two. Hold on.
He is a tambourine.
No, but I think Pork Chop's got the chimes today. Let's see if he's got the chimes. Hold on. Dude, you missed it. You were supposed to come in there with the chimes.
Okay, ready? Ready?
I got the bass. No, you're too early. Okay, you know what? You're too early.
We need a beatboxer on this show.
Here we go.
Everyone hates us.
You look like a burrito, Alex.
I am a burrito. I want you to remember that about me one day when I'm gone, that I lived in blankets.
Just like a pig.
You know, it's freaking cold in here. It's so cold, I can't feel my feet.
It's perfect in here for
me. Maybe if you put your shoes on, you'd feel
them. My shoes are on. I have boots on and socks, and I can't feel my feet. That's how ice cold they are because we have to accommodate the men in this room, but Liv and I don't matter. We're chopped liver.
I know, we are chopped liver. We freeze every single day, risk getting cold, scratchy throats.
Don't bring the crap in here about getting colds when you work with six snotty-nosed kids.
They live it up in this warm body.
It doesn't matter how many layers we put on.
If you handle the job, you got to leave.
Why can't we say that about you?
Exactly. We should say the same exact thing about you.
Because every radio studio is designed to be cold because all of this electronic equipment, which, by the way, is right near my man parts and my future generations of children, is hot. You don't know. And you've been accommodated by me and by our boss, Charisse. So quit whining. You've got a heated blanket, for Lord's sake. You've got a snuggy thing right there.
And we're still cold. But see, you
then
can get comfortable
you have
by stripping down. No, it's you.
Oh, if you let me take my pants off, we got no problem.
You can wear shorts in the winter.
No,
it's your
prerogative. I want to free ball it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's hot in here. Don't look. What do you got going on today?
Hopefully
besides freezing
warm.
To death?
I've been, you know, taking like 3 hot baths a day just to stay warm.
That is so bad for your skin.
Yeah, I know. I have the driest skin of all time. If I could pay somebody to please come over and slather me with oil, I would gladly do so because my skin is so dried out.
Don't you have a boyfriend for that?
Yeah, I do, but he's busy and we don't even see each other during the week hardly at all.
Wait,
ever.
Really?
We really only spend time together during the weekends now.
Uh-oh.
Interesting.
I mean, but he's coaching. He coaches like youth basketball. I've got my child advocate training now that I'm starting. He also works way later in the night. Sometimes he'll be at work till midnight working. He'll be the only person
there.
Is
that what he tells you or is he really doing that?
I hope it's what he's really doing. I mean, I have his location turned on so I can see where he is. I know he's telling the truth. Unless he is a chick that comes and visits him at his office. I guess if he really wanted to pull one over on me, that's what he could do. But I trust him.
Okay, well, that's good. Poor chap, you need people to help pay your rents. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I needed to make 400 Uber driving this weekend and I only made 250.
That's not good, dude. You got to step your game up.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? Where is Chase, your boyfriend, in the what he's contributing? I want to know how much he's contributing to this rent that he's due. He's bartending, is he not?
Yeah, he is. Actually, to be completely honest, I don't think I have to make that money because I think he's going to give me $200
today. Okay, good.
Well, shouldn't he? Like, don't always. You guys split it half and half because you guys are both living there? It's both your place?
I'm 7 years older. My job pays more than his. So
this
it's like
is
not,
such crap.
I don't think it's fair.
I had to pay my bills even when I work part-time at Sephora
Ladies and poor chap. This is a great conversation. We don't have time for it right now, unfortunately, because we're going to wrap it up. But I would like to talk about this because I agree. There's two sides to this story right now. I really like this.
So we'll talk about it tomorrow?
I mean, and I'm okay tomorrow.
Okay. He just said okay. Yes.
If your significant other makes a little bit less than you, should they be required to pay
more.
Half of all bills?
There's more to
all
it
right,
than that.
Of course, there's always more. There's always a nuance with pork chop.
Yeah.
100 excuses.
Oh, and by the way, did you guys know that he won trivia crack? Or HQ trivia? Sorry. All right. Alex, the web girl, producer pork chop. We've got to get the heck out of here, okay? So let's say goodbye.
Bye.